Kevin O'Rourke, you're a Jesuit and you're involved in work concerning affectivity in persons, particularly looking at it from people who've taken vows of celibacy. Can you tell me the broad parameters of the work you're engaged in?
Well, I became involved in formation work with Jesuit Scholastics in 1996, and I felt intuitively it was important to do some preparation for a life of celibacy, chastity. And in the year 1999, I spent a month with Father Jim Gill, a Jesuit medical doctor, psychoanalyst, wonderful person. And he was running a year-round program about the study of human sexuality. And that was particularly for people who were formators or involved in anything to do with formation for priesthood and religious life. And affectivity is the church word for psychosexual maturity or healthy sexuality. And we grow into it. Just because we take vows doesn't mean we become asexual. But our sexuality is sublimated for the higher cause of the kingdom. And certain human qualities are necessary. And human formation in formation for religious life and priesthood came into its own from around the time of Paul VI. It didn't spell out precisely how it should be done. So I came across through the course with Jim Gill and other reading and things that we shared, other people in formation work, about skills necessary for celibacy, skills within oneself, interpersonal skills, and also the kind of lifestyle. And it basically comes down to two things, the quality of relationships and the quality of your faith and prayer life.
Well, we look at those two things individually. But before we do, what would you say to people who would say, but if you can't really do something for it because celibacy is not a natural state and what you're trying to do is make something natural unnatural?
The boys in the primary school in Ballymun used to ask me that in their own way. And simply I can say you can live without sex, but you can't live without love. And there are millions of people all over the world who live a contented celibate life, single people who didn't marry for various reasons. Renunciation is part of it, sacrifice is part of it. But I don't find my life any harder or any easier than the lives of my brothers and sisters, some of whom are married and some who are not.
Okay, so the relationship area, let's talk about that first.
There's a Father Pat Collins of Incension Priest, and he's been writing about similar things for quite a number of years, and he said the greatest help to avoid unhealthy relationships is to have healthy relationships. And that means that we're able to be at ease within our own mind, heart, spirit, soul and body, be aware of boundaries, be aware of different kinds of intimacy that are appropriate and not appropriate. These are things that we grow into, we learn. I mean, people who are getting married do a pre-marriage course, and this is a bit similar, that over the years of formation, people learn ways of developing healthy relationships. We need to be emotionally competent, to be aware of oneself, be aware of other people's feelings. St. Teresa of Avila said that most of the difficulties in religious life come from lack of self-knowledge. Father Orlando Torres, who was Father General's assistant for formation for many years, he said that he has been dealing with all the applications for men to leave the Jesuits. And when it comes to difficulties about celibacy, he said he found a pattern of three things. Number one, when a man had difficulty, he didn't look for help in time. Number two, when he did look for help, he didn't know how to talk about himself. And number three, sometimes the person he went to talk to didn't have the language. So I basically give language so that people are able to talk about their own experience. And I must emphasize, I'm not trained in psychology or psychoanalysis or anything else. I draw on church documents. I draw on good articles written in Review for Religious or a Human Development magazine. There was a Father Richard, former Benedictine Richard Sipe, did a lot of research into celibacy among male religious, and he found 10 characteristics or qualities in the lives of people he called successful celibates. I prefer the word healthy celibates. Mm. One very helpful way of working at this is through case studies. Somebody said all stories are true and some of them actually happened. So I have about 10 or 12 or 14 different case studies, some from real life, some imagined. And they give people an opportunity to use the language that I've given them in the workshops. A workshop is always some input from myself, some question and answer, some discussion in small groups about these case studies. And when we were on the workshop with Jim Gill, now that was 1999, lasted 4 weeks. Twice a week we had sessions called TAS, Talking About Sex. So he gave us real life case studies and we spoke about them for maybe an hour or two, simply to be able to be at home with the language and be able to have a conversation with people.
But if you were celibate, then what would you really know? With all due respect, a lot of people may wonder, what did you talk about? Was it a short conversation?
No, there might be case studies of people in religious life who had a fascination for somebody, who were having an affair with somebody, who had fallen in love and didn't know how to deal with it, or who weren't sure of their identity, or a simple question. Somebody says, I'm thinking of joining a religious order. How can I be sure that I won't be lonely all my life? We didn't have to speak about ourselves, but these case studies gave us a way of being able to, I suppose, imagine ourselves into situations. Or when we were formators doing this program, so when people would come to us to talk about themselves, we could either give them the concepts and the language and the outlines. In other words, anybody should be able to answer the question, how am I doing in terms of celibacy? Am I a healthy celibate? I draw on one of the concepts from the 12-step program of AA, where a very good phrase is contented sobriety. And I talk about contented chastity, that it's not an unbearable burden. It's a challenge. It has its difficulties. It has its ups and downs. But it is possible to live it very happily, very contentedly, without denying one's own sexuality or one's sexual energy. Or as Pope John Paul II said, all our faculties are intact.
But, can I ask you something? There's an issue then. You talked about relationships are key.
Yes.
And the way we learn about ourselves and other people is through relationships.
Yeah.
So what is it that the celibate person, in some ways the problem is they can't have really intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. Would that be correct? How do they learn the kind of relationship skills if they're not able to get into really intimate situations? Because I presume that getting into intimate situations brings with it its own difficulties, not just for the celibate, but for the person they're getting into the relationship with.
They say that there are 7 different levels of intimacy, from the husband and wife, right up to what you might call spiritual intimacy. And really, as what I said at the beginning, you can live without sex, but not without love. So there is the intimacy of a hug and an embrace with your brother or your sister or a close friend. There's being at home in your own body so that you're not all the time either worried about your sexuality or you're not thinking in terms of genitality with another person. There is academic or intellectual intimacy where you share your thoughts and ideas and your knowledge. There is emotional intimacy where you share your feelings and all of that sort of stuff. And in deep levels of communication, it involves being able to open yourself up. Somebody described intimacy as being in a relationship close enough to another person so you can be changed by it. So that people will be really vulnerable, will be really honest, will really trust, will really tell the truth, will really be both assertive for themselves and also able to communicate and to be aware of other people's feelings as well. And we learn that through, in our sort of all-male religious community, that is part and parcel of the exchange of faith and exchange of prayer and sharing of who you are. And anybody who tries to keep people at a distance, they will not be healthy, either as a married or a single person or a celibate person. And the issue is not whether we have genital intimacy with somebody, but whether we can have spiritual intimacy or allow ourselves to be really close. You know, as you are close to a brother or a sister or a close relative or a deep friend.
That does require, but as you said at the start, a really strong sense of awareness, a sense of boundaries, a sense of when lines are being crossed. Because it's grand when you're talking about it in words.
Mm-hmm.
But when that's actually happening, there are a lot of things going on at different levels that you're not always aware of. And suddenly somebody may find themselves very deeply involved with somebody, even though they thought they were keeping everything at a spiritual and profound level. But in actual fact, maybe they've fallen in love and they haven't even realized it.
Sure. Now, there's two things there. Every one of us needs, you as well as me, everybody needs at least one other person in our life. Not necessarily in a professional relationship like counselor or spiritual director, but we all need somebody with whom we can be completely open. A friend of mine had a stroke many years ago, and he said to me, and the nurses had to wash him front and back and everything, he said, "I have neither pride nor shame." I thought that was the best definition of spiritual freedom and emotional freedom I ever heard. So we all need at least one other person with whom we are neither afraid nor ashamed to be totally open with another person. The most important question in any of these conversations is, where do you want this to go? If we're in a relationship or in a situation where we're not sure what's happening, things getting out of control, whatever, honesty with oneself, with somebody else, being clear, what do you want to happen here? Cardinal Martini said really that it's not right for any of us to have an exclusive relationship when we're in religious life. Because that will be limiting the freedom of the other person. There's no long-term future in an exclusive relationship like that. But certainly, what's the process? What's going on? Openness, honesty, vulnerability, truth, self-aware, really being aware of you know, what's going on, and having the language to talk on the part of who you're talking to and on your own part.